Anyway, I hope you've got a copy of the commemoration service, which is what we're going to do today on the 14th Sunday after Trinity, just a service in memory of Her Majesty, the late Queen Elizabeth II. So let's start with some verses from the Bible. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." In the name of Christ, who died and was raised to the glory of God the Father, grace, mercy, and peace be with you. We meet this day to remember before God our late Sovereign Lady, Queen Elizabeth, to renew our trust and confidence in Christ, and to pray that together we may be one in him, through whom we offer our prayers and praises to the Father. O God, make speed to save us. O Lord, make haste to help us. Blessed are you, Lord our God, lover of souls. You uphold us in life and sustain us in death. To you be glory and praise forever. For the darkness of this age is passing away, as Christ, the bright and morning star, brings to his saints the light of life. As you give light to those in darkness who walk in the shadow of death, so remember in your kingdom your faithful servants, Elizabeth, that death may be for her the gate of life and to unending fellowship with you, where with your saints you live and reign, one in the perfect union of love, now and forever. Amen. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
Our first reading is from Revelation 21, verses 1 to 7. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.' He who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.' Then he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.' He said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And our second reading, from John 6. Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. It seems clear to me, and maybe the same is true for you, as we look back over the last 96 years, that Elizabeth II was a gift from God to our nation, a beacon of humility, grace, astuteness, good humour, generosity, and, above all, deep faith. Like many, I suppose, I have never been a real royal watcher. I have admired the Queen from afar and appreciated her constancy as she lived out the vows made so many years ago. But as the years have gone by, I, like you perhaps, have also come to a clearer appreciation of how God has been working in and through her throughout her life. Yes, she was a remarkable woman and a remarkable monarch. But what we have come to see, I think, is that she was first and foremost a remarkable disciple of Jesus Christ. As such, she offered us an extraordinary example of consistent godliness in what must be one of the longest and most public ministries the world has ever seen. Since her death, our screens have been filled with eulogies from family and friends, former prime ministers, Commonwealth leaders, world leaders, religious leaders of every major faith, royal correspondents, celebrities, and neighbours from Deeside. We have heard of her extraordinary dedication to duty, her dignity, her diligence, her capacity to change with the times, her curiosity and intelligence, and her ability to make almost anyone feel comfortable and, more importantly, valued. We have heard of her contribution to international relations, to the Commonwealth, and to public morale. We have heard of her emotional resilience as she has dealt with bereavement, fire, problems within the family, and many a scandal along the way. We have heard about her capacity to forgive and something of what her faith meant to her. Indeed, about her faith in Jesus Christ, she was always crystal clear and repeatedly so. In her 2014 Christmas broadcast, she put it this way: "For me, the life of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, whose birth we celebrate today, is an inspiration and an anchor in my life, a role model of reconciliation and forgiveness. He stretched out his hands in love, acceptance, and healing. Christ's example has taught me to seek to respect and value all people of whatever faith or none." Rather brilliantly, in an age that is on the one hand increasingly secular and on the other fraught by religious conflicts, her approach was winsomely inclusive. She pointed to Jesus and how he expanded her capacity to love people whose beliefs were different from her own. Her approach was testimonial, not argumentative. She told the world the inspiration that Jesus had been in her own life, and left the world to decide if they were interested in being inspired themselves. She said, I hope that, like me, you will be comforted by the example of Jesus of Nazareth, who often, in circumstances of great adversity, managed to live an outgoing, unselfish, and sacrificial life. Countless millions of people around the world continue to celebrate his birthday at Christmas, inspired by his teaching. He makes it clear that genuine human happiness and satisfaction lie more in giving than receiving, more in serving than in being served. We can surely be grateful that 2,000 years after the birth of Jesus, so many of us are able to draw inspiration from his life and message, and to find in him a source of strength and courage. More broadly, we can see the influence of Jesus Christ on her understanding of her job and how she went about it. At the heart of this is the extraordinary impact of one particular moment in the coronation. Not the moment when the solid gold St. Edward's crown was laid on her head, but the moment that was not televised because it was deemed to be too holy for mass broadcast. It was the moment when, divested of all her robes of state, she knelt in a simple white dress and was anointed with holy oil. It was the moment when she dedicated herself to God to serve him by serving her people. And it was a calling she wholly embraced. William Shawcross, one of her biographers, wrote, she found, like her mother before her, an almost sacrificial quality at the heart of the service. Of course, sacrifice is at the heart of the gospel too. Jesus giving his life for ours. And it is at the heart of our own discipleship, taking up our cross daily to follow him. But sacrifice is intertwined with service. We no longer live for ourselves, but for God and for others. And that is what characterized Elizabeth's approach, not only to her work, but her understanding of citizenship. So, for example, at Christmas 2012, she said, this is the time of year when we remember that God sent his only son to serve, not to be served. He restored love and service to the center of our lives in the person of Jesus Christ. There is certainly no doubt about the identity of the king that our queen served. Nor is there any doubt that the prayer that you and I have so often prayed, perhaps without even realizing it was a prayer, was answered. God saved our queen. Our queen was gracious and noble and victorious in the things that really matter. Hope and faith in Jesus Christ, love of God and of the people she was both called and empowered to serve. Indeed, there can be few greater indications of God's mercy and grace to our nation than to have given us a queen who loved us so faithfully and pointed us to him so clearly. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ for the gift of his servant Elizabeth. And may God grace King Charles III in his reign as he graced the late Queen Elizabeth II in hers. Amen.
Let us pray. Lord, have mercy upon us.
Christ have mercy upon us.
Lord, have mercy upon us. We say together, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
The souls of the righteous are in the hand of God,
and there shall be no torment touch them.
You, Lord, have delivered my soul from death,
my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling.
I will walk before the Lord
in the land of the living.
Merciful Father and Lord of all, we praise you that we were made in your image and reflect your truth and light. We thank you for the life of our late Sovereign Lady, Queen Elizabeth, for the love she received from you and showed among us. Above all, we rejoice at your gracious promise to all your servants, living and departed, that we shall rise again at the coming of Christ. And we ask that in due time we may share with your servant Elizabeth that clearer vision promised to us in the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Eternal God, our Maker and Redeemer, grant us, with your servant Queen Elizabeth and all the faithful departed, the sure benefits of your Son's saving passion and glorious resurrection, that in the last day, when you gather up all things in Christ, we may with them enjoy the fullness of your promises. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Almighty God, Father of all mercies and giver of all comfort, deal graciously, we pray, with all who mourn, the members of the royal family, this nation, and all the nations of the Commonwealth, that casting all our cares on you, we may know the consolation of your love, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.
Into your hands, O Father and Lord, we commend your servant, our late Sovereign Lady, Queen Elizabeth. Enlighten her with your holy grace, and suffer her never to be separated from you, O Lord in Trinity, God everlasting. May God in his mercy grant us, with all the faithful departed, rest and peace.
Amen. Amen.
Almighty God, the fountain of all goodness, bless our Sovereign Lord King Charles and all who are in authority under him, that they may order all things in wisdom and equity, righteousness and peace, to the honour of your name and the good of your church and people, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
May God in his infinite love and mercy bring the whole church, living and departed, to a joyful resurrection and the fulfillment of his eternal kingdom. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Thank you very much for joining me this morning. Thank you, Dawn. I hope you have a blessed day and week ahead, and I look forward to seeing you next week. Have a good day. The sun is shining. I'm sure we're all off to do a myriad of different things.
The best of Claire for her ordination.
Oh, yes, that's next.
With her.
Thank you. That's next. Claire is being ordained priest next Saturday afternoon at Crediton, and she'll be celebrating communion for the first time at Crewsm Orchard next Sunday at 10:45. So do please pray for her. And thank you for that reminder, John. Yeah. do please pray for her. It's a big moment. She'll be on retreat from Wednesday. So God bless you all.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.